Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Sometimes, you just don't know when it's gonna make you want to move. So I love it. That is my desire. I just to be dancing in the spirit. Do it right here on this terra firma, and do it right before His throne. Amen. I'm gonna be dancing both places. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't have a Bible, we will provide one for you. Just raise your hand. We've been talking on a subject in regards to a kingdom state of mind. I'm going to put in a shameless plug right now about Wednesday night Bible study. You can't get everything that you need as a believer if you just show up on Sunday. Thank you. I want to say it nice and clear so they can hear. That's wonderful. All right. Yeah. You cannot be a successful believer and navigate this walk if you only show up on Sunday. The essential part of the believer is to study to show yourself approved. Now, you know, you can't ride off of apostles' knowledge. You can't ride off of what Yahweh gives me. You got to know stuff for yourself. You have to look at it for yourself. When you come to a Bible study, it's not, well, Pastor Tom said, It's what the Word is saying. And I said this, I think I said it in Bible study, but I'll say it here. And if I said it here, I'll say it again. If you don't believe that the word, whether it be electronic means or a hard copy, if you don't believe that's the way to go and that is the truth and there is no other way, then there's two exits to my right. Because if you don't believe that, then you wasting your time. There's places that you could be. But Yahweh wants people that sincerely want to know what is the direction for their life according to His word. Do we got any believers that want that?
Right here.
All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So Wednesday night Bible study, we've opened up a new subject. The new subject is spiritual warfare and demonic activity. It's stuff that people don't want to talk about. We want to pretend that there ain't no enemy. You live in victory, but if you don't know how the enemy operates, then you're not going to get the victory. Because his strategy is to keep you from the victory. His strategy is to keep you from the blessings. His strategy is to keep you from the true victory, the ultimate victory, the total victory of making it to the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. So if you are not submitting yourself to that kind of knowledge, you're going to fall for some okie dokes. So I'm encouraging you, come out, because I can't go over all that stuff on Sunday because, number one, there ain't enough time. And number two, I only got 30 minutes. I think I have an hour and 30. on Wednesday. So if you really want an in-depth study, please, I encourage you, come out on Wednesday night Bible study. It's some powerful stuff that we're going to be revealing in regards to spiritual warfare. But all of these subjects connect, because if we're talking about a kingdom state of mind, your thinking, well, the enemy wants to steal your victory by attacking your thoughts. He wants to feed you some stuff that is not of him so that he can change your course. But right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I'm speaking to a group of believers who is not going to fall for that. They want their victory. They are going to do whatever it takes. Anybody going to do whatever it takes to get your victory? Amen. So as we go forward, go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Only taking you there. So I'm going to let you know and bring you up to speed real quick. I'm going to do it real quick. And we're going to read right through it. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd verse. I feel good with this time. I feel real good with the time. Okay, so if you got it, say, I got it. All right. So it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's not a fleshly war. But fourth verse, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Mashiach, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we learned a few things. We learned that we're in a war, right? What we learned about being in a war is that we got to know the enemy's tricks and strategy, okay? So he tries to hit you with thoughts. Those are the imaginations that we talked about. We have to stay on guard. The Hebrew word Shahar, say Shahar. Shahar is gatekeeper. You are the gatekeeper of your thoughts. Yahweh can't block thoughts. He's given you the power to either choose a thought or refuse a thought. Got it? Sample or an example of that is when the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. What is that saying? That says being angry is not a sin, but it's what you do with that anger, right, that will determine if you're going to do something sinful. So you have to control the anger and don't let the anger control you. Anybody been mad? Somebody was like, okay. And anybody ever been in a situation where you said something or you did something that after everything went down, you felt real bad about? Well, that's because you sinned. You allowed the anger to take you there, right? And so that tells us that if being angry is okay, but sinning from the anger is not okay, that means we have a fork in the road. When we become angry, we have a choice. Either we're going to operate in the godly way and cast that down, or we're going to operate in the flesh and do everything else, right? That's why when it comes to, and I'll use this as an example, when it comes to relationships, nobody can get under your skin like your significant other. Why? Because they know the buttons. I know that button. I know that button. And so if you're husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you're going to be in a situation where they're going to make you angry. Ooh, you just love them, though. Don't you love them? But you hate to love them and you love to hate them. But you're going to, when they make you mad, there's a choice. And so what I have learned, it takes one person. If one person operates in the word, it's going to be all right. That means if the person up in the word say, you know what? I ain't going to say another word. And I will take a, let me take a walk. Somebody said, yes. And once you take a walk and come back, then everything is what? Usually you have, calming down means there's a different state of mind. There's the angry state of mind when everything is fresh. And then there's the shalom state of mind, right? Your responsibility, there should never be two believers that can't get along. Husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, daughter, sister, father, son, we all should be able to what? Get along. Tell your neighbor, can we all get along? But it's our choice, it's our thought process, right? And it's interesting. When people get mad, they want to, as the world says, give you a piece of their mind. Anybody ever said that? You ever said that? I need to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you think about it this way. When you give somebody a piece of your mind, that's one less piece that you have. Right? And if you keep on giving people a piece of your mind, pretty soon you ain't gonna have much mind left. Right? So that tells you that there's just a flesh operating and it breaks down. But anytime you're confronted with that anger or that situation or that challenge or trial, you have to choose godliness. You have to choose shalom. You have to, and who is the choice? Is Yahweh gonna stop your argument? Is Yahweh gonna say, hey, you two, stop it, thus I say. He's looking for somebody that's going to what? Somebody that's going to what? Operate in his will. So you got the choice. You got the power. It's up to you. You have to be the sha'ar. You have to be the gatekeeper of your thoughts, right? So we lead thoughts captive. Say, I lead thoughts captive. You do. He's giving you the power to lead the thoughts captive. So when the thought comes, you have to what? Grab a hold of it and lead it right out of your mind. Lead it right out of your life. That's up to you. So let's go here. 1 Peter, or for you Hebrew scholars, 1 Kepha, 5th chapter. You are the gatekeeper. And the Satan, he can only plant thoughts. Another litmus test for that is in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And Adam and Eve were like, oh, we got to hide that when they ate of the apple. And they were hiding from Yahweh. Remember that? And so Yahweh went in the garden looking for them. And he was like, where are you? And they said, well, we found out that we was naked. Well, they've been frolicking in the garden for thousands of years. And nakedness was never a problem. But as soon as they fell into obedience, they realized that they was naked. Well, Yahweh said, what was the first thing Yahweh said? Who told you that you was naked? I didn't tell you, because I created you in that freedom. But evidently, you're taking your counsel and your thoughts from someone else. So that tells us that we're either going to receive Yahweh's thoughts or we're going to receive the enemy's thoughts. There's no in between. Indecisiveness is not Yahweh's thoughts. Indecisiveness by default is disobedience. See, some of y'all are like, well, I'm just going to stay in the middle. Uh-uh. You know, people, I'm just going to be neutral. Uh-uh. Either it's right or it's wrong. And if you're taking a neutral stance, then you're standing in what? Disobedience. So, we're going to talk about really quickly about something that is going to inhibit your thought process. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse. Everybody got it? It says what? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you. I'm going to give you a little appetizer of a Bible study. The enemy is going to take you down two paths. One path, he's going to tell you that you ain't nothing. You ain't worthy. You are less than. And you are should not obtain what Yahweh tells you. Or he's going to tell you, you are the best thing since sliced bread. You are the one and only. You are the greatest and the highest. You're even higher than Yahweh. You know, you whatever that word says, don't worry about that because your intellect is much higher than that. Because some people, let me tell you, some people don't think that. But when we tell them what the word says, and when you say, well, I feel and I think, where what you've done is exalted your knowledge above the knowledge of Yahweh. So, did he say that you were more than a conqueror? Yes. Did he say that you could do all things? Yes. But you are not a conqueror over Yahweh. Let me say that again. When he said you were more than a conqueror, he didn't mean that you could exalt yourself above him and his word, and you were going to conquer and go above what he's telling you to do. Because that's what y'all think. Well, he said I was more than a conqueror, so I can do anything I want to do. Uh-uh. There ain't no scripture that says you are greater than Yahweh. It is only because of Yahweh that you are where you are. You better thank him for the grace and mercy that he's even given you what you got. And had it not been for him, you wouldn't have nothing. So I know ain't nobody can teach me nothing. We've had people come through here, can't nobody teach me nothing. Well, you know what I found out? Yahweh don't preach. Let me say that again. Yahweh don't preach. Holy Ghost don't preach. He uses his vessels to deliver. That's why he put the Holy Ghost in there, so to deliver what? His word. So how can they hear without a preacher? Let me say that again. How can they hear without a what? Preacher. But he said, well, I can teach myself. Okay. So what you're saying is that regardless when Yahweh says forsaking not the assembly and you decide, well, you ain't coming to church. I don't need church. Your knowledge is bigger, better than his, huh? Because didn't he say forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? Just like this. So if you're saying, well, I know more than they do. I don't have to come to church. Well, whose knowledge are you exalting? Are you exalting your knowledge or are you exalting his knowledge? So stop usurping authority over Yahweh's word. What Yahweh's word, and don't even put it on me. Well, I'm not going to say it because Pastor Tom said it. It's not my word. I didn't write this. It's his word. I'm just a humble servant allowing myself to be used for whatever purpose he wants to use me. I'm not reading from my own book. I'm reading from his book. Now, when I decide to write a book and you don't like what's in my book, then that's on you. But right now, the only book that I'm pushing is a book of the word of Yahweh. That's it. So whatever he say is the way it is. So if you will not humble yourself, then he cannot do something. He said he can only do something unless you humble yourself. What does humbling yourself mean? Stop pushing your own agenda. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Whatever his word says, do it. Tell your neighbor, just do it. Just do it. Because if you decide that you don't want to do it and you don't want to do it his way, then he can't do nothing for you. So we got too many believers that say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm even more of a conqueror than Yahweh. You taking it way too far. So you got to remember, you to hear from Yahweh, you got to humble yourself. So say, sometimes it needs to come out of your mouth. I'm going to humble myself. Look up to Yahweh, I'm going to humble myself. And it says, if you humble yourself into his mighty hand, that he may what? And what? Who needs to be exalted? What does that mean? Doesn't mean that he's going to give you another position. That's part of it. But whatever your situation is that you need to be lifted out of or lifted from or delivered from, then you need to humble yourself so that he can what? Exalt you, take you up out of that to a higher place in due time. What does due time mean? In his time. See, you want stuff microwave. My mother used to say that. It's a microwave society. It's a microwave society. You want it what? Right now. Right? But check this out. Sometimes he knows what's going on behind the scenes than you do. He's trying to move things and allow things to work together for your good. Well, sometimes it takes a little time for the working of the good. I mean, he can move right then and there, but he's trying to put you in a better position than you could ever imagine. Go ahead. So sometimes that takes what? Takes time, right? So what am I doing that time? I'm praising him. I'm thanking him. And so the enemy will try to affect your thoughts and either think that you're less than what Yahweh said you were or that you're greater than Yahweh. Well, who thought that they were greater than Yahweh in the first place? He said, I'm going to build my throne above yours. I know more than you do. Well, isn't that what he's doing for us? To us at times, he's giving us thoughts. I know better than that old pastor. I know better than what that word's saying. So we gotta check ourselves. Say, check myself. And he says in the seventh verse, what? Casting all. What is your care? Your care. Anybody have cares today? I'm not talking about stuff that. Care means stuff that you love. Care is something that you're concerned about. Care is something that's going on in your life, something that's presented itself that you are spending time thinking about. Right? So if you care about something, you're what? Thinking about it. You mulling it over, right? And so he says that there should be no situations or concerns that you are mulling over in your mind. Why? Because when you're mulling, thinking about stuff and worried about stuff and tripping about stuff and being anxious about stuff, that's time that he's losing from getting your praise and your focus. You're taking time away from him because you are toiling with something that you are not designed to toil with. He did not create you to worry and to be concerned and to fret and to trip out over stuff. He created you to cast your cares on him. And he says, let me think about it. Right? Anybody fish? Any fishers in the house? Nobody fish no more? What's up? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, over there. Well, in fishing, there's something called casting. Unless you take the bait and cast it away from you, you ain't gonna catch no fish. And when you cast it, you can't just pull it back. When you cast it, you gotta leave it there and then let it be resolved and let that fish get on that thing, and then you'll see the harvest of what your casting did. Amen? So stop casting cares to Yahweh and then pulling them back and trying to do it yourself. He said, cast your cares upon me. Well, I care for you. So when you throw that thing out, don't worry about it. No more. Just let him bring in the catch. Anybody got some cares this morning? Okay. So your job is to cast it. That means I'm throwing it to you, Yava. I ain't worried about it because I know what you're going to do. So where is the care? If you're deciding to keep the care, where is it? It's in your mind, right? And so you got to understand that. Get a hold of it and cast it to Yeshua. Say, my job is to get a hold of that care and cast it to Yeshua. Eighth verse. So, in this process, you need to do something. Be sober. What does that mean? Think soundly. Have a sound mind. Because I tell you, people just think it's drunk. But if you are in a frenzy and you are trying to do something, you're trying to make something happen, and you're trying to force something, you're not sober. Because did he tell you to do that? Did he say, hey, you run like a chicken with your head cut off? And how many, don't raise your hand, how many of you have been headless chickens? You've been there. We all been there. But if you're a headless chicken, you're not sober. But if you are seeking what Yahweh's resolution is for your life, then you're working in sobriety. And he needs his saints to be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. You got to be the gatekeeper. You got to be on point. Say, I got to be on point. That's what vigilance means. I got to be on point. Right? Why do we got to be on point? Say, because. Why do I need to be on point? Why do I need to be on guard? Why do I need to be a gatekeeper? Because the adversary. Somebody say, because of the adversary. Who is the adversary? The devil, the enemy, the fowler, the dragon, right? The adversary, all of those things. That's your enemy. And so he says, the enemy is going to do something. The enemy, the devil, is what? As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may. What does that mean? Oh, the devil is walking around like the lion. And you lose sight of what's really going on as a lion. Let me break it down for you. The adversary is looking for some folks who he can manipulate. He's looking for some folks that think they know more than Yahweh. He's looking for some folks that's not interested in doing the will of Yahweh. They're interested in their own thing. He's looking for some people that aren't humble. Because if he can catch you in your disobedience and your being off the chain, then and away from the pack. Because wait. Anybody ever watch the Animal Channel? And what happens? Why do they stick together? Because there's protection in numbers. But if you had that one that's going what? Stray off, what happens? He gets it every time. He gets it every time. Why? Because he's like, I don't have to go to pack. I'm going my own way. And surely the enemy is looking for that one that decides he's going to go his own way. And guess what? There's always food, because there's always somebody that thinks that they know so much they can go their own way. Watch yourself. It's a given fact It's going to happen every time. Right here, I want all of y'all to be victorious. I want all of y'all. Look at this group. I mean, if we believed the same way together, there'd be so much power in this room, it would blow the roof off. But the truth of the matter is, there's some folks sitting here right now that say, I'm going to go my own way. Somebody say, yeah, I got this. Somebody say, I got this. Well, guess what? There's a lion in here right now. You can't see it with your eyes because it's a spiritual warfare. But he's going up and down these pews, seeking whose thoughts he can control, seeking who's going to listen to him instead of the word, seeking to take you away from your victory. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to let no devil in hell take me from my victory. You better know whose you are. Your power isn't because of you. It's because of who you serve. That's the only reason why you got the power that you got. So he is what? Seeking whom he may devour. Check this out. Why is he acting like a roaring lion? It's just an act, y'all. Sometimes you confront it with some circumstances that just seem that they're just so crazy. Wait. It's not anything that Yahweh can't do. And the enemy wants to take you out of pocket, so he's running around with a lion suit on. Anybody seen the Wizard of Oz? Everybody seen that, right? And the wizard was so, loud and boisterous. But then when they finally discovered who he was, he was nothing but a little weakling, just a pitiful thing. Well, guess what? The enemy, the adversary that's roaring around like a lion seeking whom he may devour, he ain't nothing. He ain't got no power over you. Let me show you why. Go here, real quick. Because I got to tell you, Yaakov, which is James, James, 4th chapter, 7th verse. You got it? James 4, 7? So what is this? Submit yourself. Wait. Submit yourself. Humble yourself. Well, isn't that, aren't we talking about the same stuff? So evidently, there's something to submitting. There's something to humbling that allows Yahweh to do what he does. But we always resist. We're always not humble. We're always thinking that we know better. What I think, I feel, I think, I feel, I think, I feel. I think that I feel that I think that I feel, and I feel that I think. That's what y'all do. So that's why he has to keep on saying, humble yourself. My child, humble yourself. My child, humble yourself. Yeah, you're greater than only because of me, my child. Yeah, you're more than a conqueror only because of me, my child. So yeah, you can conquer the devil, but keep me in the loop. Keep listening to me and you'll keep on conquering. Once you stop listening to me, you won't be a conqueror. Being a conqueror is only based upon you submitting and humbling yourself to Yahweh. So you're not just a conqueror, but you're a conqueror. I'm a conqueror. But if you ain't no submitter and no humbler, then you can't be a conqueror. You ain't got no power without humbling Yahweh. Why? Because your power is only in Yahweh. Say, my power is only in Yahweh. So it says, submit yourselves therefore to Yahweh. The only entity that you're supposed to be resisting is the devil. So I'm telling the church this morning, stop resisting Yahweh, stop resisting the word, but resist the devil. That's who you're supposed to resist. But whose choice is it for you to resist the devil or to resist the devil? It's you. So he's telling you, resist, and what? What will happen if you resist? What does resist mean? Resists means stand against. Anybody willing to stand against the devil this morning? That's one. Okay, so I got to get this, and I'm going to let you. It says, submit yourself, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that mean? Flee means that he's going to turn in terror. Why is the demon, if you resist him, that means stand against? How do I stand against the devil? By telling the devil what the word says. How do I stand against the devil? I don't know what to say. Say what the word says. If you say what the word says, you will effectively resist the devil. And when you effectively resist the devil, he will effectively flee from you. What does that mean? You send him running. He don't go like chilling. When you give him the word, he goes running. What proof do I have of that? Go here. Go to Matityahu, the 8th chapter. I'm going to leave you with this. How do I affect it? I quote the scripture. I say the scripture. But are you believing it? Are you saying it with power? Are you saying it with authority? So it says Matthew, the 8th chapter. And it says what? The 28th verse. Why am I showing you this? Because if I resist the devil and he flee, what guarantee do I have that he's going to flee? Well, let's check it out. And when he was come to the other side into the country of, wait, I can't see. Gergesenes. Okay. And when he was come to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, who are we talking about? Yeshua. Why am I giving you an example of Yeshua? Because what Yeshua did, he is your example. You do what Yeshua does. That is why Yahweh came down here and wrapped himself up in flesh, is to show you how to do this thing. And so it says, there met him two possessed with devils. So there were some people who was possessed with devils. And they were coming out of the tomb. Exceeding fierce. Hold up. So check this out. When Yeshua came upon the scene, he found these folks that was being possessed by devils, right? That means the devils was inside of them. And they came fierce. Let's connect that to the scripture we read before. He is going as a roaring lion, what? Seeking whom he, what? He's trying to find out who's weak in the word. So now Yeshua is like, okay, I'm walking, and these demons, they're like, okay, who's going there? We're going to try to intimidate. So they didn't say that they came out. They came out fierce. So they was trying to scare him. Right? Okay. So, hey, anybody came in contact with a fierce demon? He came at you fierce, right? You saw the fangs, too. You felt the hot breath, didn't you? Because of the situation. Okay, so it says, he came out of the tombs exceedingly fierce so that no man might pass by that way. So he was trying to block a certain entrance to keep people out of that area. Well, that's what he's trying to do with you. He's trying to keep you from the victory. So if he can gnash his teeth and act a fool long enough, then you're going to be like, oh, I'm scared, and I'm going to go the other way. Well, your victory's over there. You got to go through him to get to your victory. So you're going to let him intimidate you? You're going to let him scare you? You're going to let him act like a roaring lion, a fake lion? He's bogus. He's illegitimate. He's illegal. You have the legal power to conquer him. So check this out. So what's going to happen? And so, but when they discovered who he was, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Yeshua? So when they realized who they was dealing with,
They was like, wait a minute. They ran up on him, right? Before they discovered who he was. And when they discovered who he was, they said what? They said, what have we to do with thee, right? And it says, what, Yeshua, thou son of Yahweh, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, I thought those demons was big and bad and fierce. Wait, hold up. Y'all not getting this. I thought the demons came out big, bad, and fierce. They was trying to block the way. But when they found out that Yeshua was there, they said, whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. What you doing here? You trying to mess us up before we get cast into the pit of hell? Why? Because they recognized who they was really dealing with. And later on it says they asked, they was like, okay, can we go into the pigs? And he let them go into the pigs. But he had to get out of those men. So what does that say about you? Well, there's certain, my wife used to be named Stephanie Henderson. That was her name. And she could not do things in my power, in my authority, because she did not have a legal right. Before I married her, we was dating, but she couldn't get into my bank account. She couldn't get my benefits. She couldn't sign for my name and all that stuff. Why? Because she was Stephanie Henderson. Oh, but when we got married, she became Stephanie Washington. And when she became Stephanie Washington, she was entitled to everything that I had available, whether I liked it or not. Because she had my name. So with my name, she can get into my account. She can get into my 401k and all that stuff. Why? Because now she has the legal right and the authority. Well, when you became saved, I became saved. Let me use me. My name became Tom Washington Yeshua. So when the demons deal with me and they realize who they dealing with, that, hey, that's Tom Washington, Yeshua. He got power. He got authority. I better get out of here. You better start operating in your power and your authority and the name that's been given to you. You are whoever you are, Yeshua. And guess what happens when you come up on the scene? Demons, they gotta flee. Demons, they gotta go. Does anybody want some demons to get up out of there? That's your power. That's your power through Yeshua. Hallelujah. That's the God I serve. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. So you better start operating in what you have been given. You are the bride of Mashiach. You have taken on his name. So, yeah, that devil used to slap you upside your head because you didn't have the name. But now you've been washed in the blood. So you better start acknowledging who you are. Father, Yahweh, we thank you. Praise you for the victory. We are the children of Middlesai. Yeshua, we thank you for the power and the victory. Everything that you've done, you said we do greater works. So right now we take authority over the enemy that tries to separate, the enemy that tries to keep us from our victory. He has no power. He is illegal. He is illegitimate. He has no rights. But we have given all the rights, all the privileges, and all the benefits of power and authority. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to us the importance of us walking in our power and our authority. We give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Be quickly. I have to acknowledge this, because if we're talking about a transformation,